This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening, this is Rock Cash, your host this week on The People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen by phone calling 716-748-0144, or if you have a smartphone or a computer, go to bbsradio.com, navigate to Station 2, click on the listen icon. You can also participate during the show with calling questions for our guests, toll free, USA and Canada, 888-429-5471. Join us this evening. Dr. Leonard Horowitz will be talking about Ebola, AIDS, essentially more of what's going on in today's world, the dilemmas we are facing, what's in store for the people worldwide in the near future. Grim future, but if certain people have their way. Leonard, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rock. Pleasure to join you. Thanks for the invitation.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure having you here, Doctor. Let's get on with the situation with the Ebola, because that seems to be the mainstream headlines of deception.
Yeah, boy, you got that right.
And what is your take on the entire situation, Doctor?
Well, it's a gross deception, as you've been saying, Rock. It's essentially where, years ago, I came out with the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola. I spent 3 years investigating the origins of AIDS and Ebola. And the work that I did, besides being a national bestseller in the United States and been translated into other languages, including Chinese, the Chinese government actually authorized the publication of the book, but you wouldn't know that. In fact, the mainstream media in the United States has largely censored my work, and has over the last couple of weeks, particularly where there have been officials from other countries, as well as researchers and scientists coming out and claiming that everyone should read my book, and basically the origin of Ebola is certified to be a biological weapons lab. And we can talk about that if you want. But ultimately, the mainstream media has been suppressing, concealing, and they have been complicit in the genocide. The shame, and it's outrageous what's taking place today. Personally, I'm engaged in litigations. I've been studying law for the last 3 years. I've been forced to do that because of the manner in which I've been defamed by a group of COINTELPRO agents that were assigned to me to largely discredit my work in virology and the whole book, Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola. But they've largely failed, and my work with Sherry Kane, Sherry's been outstanding as a research investigator and basically exposing the way in which whistleblowers such as myself, and because this is a national security threat and a global emergency, the whistleblowing in this area is particularly of great concern to those who are profiteering off of humanity's suffering and making money off of Ebola and AIDS and the pharmaceutical cartel and the vaccine hype that you've been witnessing over the last couple of weeks. Well, essentially what we've done is we've been in the process of creating a series of litigations that will expose these menaces to society in the commission of treason and sedition against the United States of America. And essentially what it amounts to is that we have sufficient evidence to take before a jury to expose all these complicit agents, including officials at the CDC and the National Institutes for Allergies and Infectious Diseases, these people who are party to the racketeering enterprise that we call organized medicine that is currently under CDC direction, and that's under World Health Organization direction, and that's under Rockefeller family direction and World Bank likewise direction at the United Nations through the Rockefeller influence. So we're really looking at a conspiracy to deceive and to largely reduce populations in a way that we have not witnessed yet. This is the first time that a level 4 biological weapon has been loosed in a major way and has spread substantially. And I'm praying that this kind of a show, this program, and our work in exposing the truth is largely the source or cause for the sudden, this week, we're hearing increased news that the epidemic or threatening pandemic is starting to become under control. At least that's the latest that I've heard. And we did a show last night with people from Africa that are activists there that we've been working with. We interviewed the brother and family of the first American victim, Thomas, down in Texas, who died. And what I'm hearing is that it's starting to come under control, which, in my opinion, is different from what the plan was. And I suspect strongly that we have been effective in terms of being alternative media and alternative information, to actually put a damper on the intended spread of Ebola to create the global genocide and a gross depopulation, which has been not only promoted and recommended by parties such as Bill Gates, who is a leader in the vaccine trafficking enterprise. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are the world leaders in disseminating genocide via vaccination intoxications. And so that, you know, we think that we're doing good. You know, I'm thankful that we're not increasing the fright, the fear that we all felt over the last several weeks. I was completely devastated by it because I've seen it. I have been out there for 20 years almost, saying that this is what the potential threat is and the likely card that will be played in the end times when there's a tremendous stress on the economy. Then they've got to play the same card that the powers that be have played for millennia. No epidemic in Earth's history has ever evolved into a pandemic without major socio-political and economic upheaval. And so we're at that time now where I think they rolled out Ebola to accomplish a, let's say, 70% depopulation, which was conservatively what they recommended. 6 out of 7 people supposedly have to go. Again, that's according to Bill Gates. Bill Gates has already come out and said that vaccinations will reduce the population by 15%. Well, that's insufficient for those who wish a depopulation agenda of about 6 billion people. There's about 7 billion people of us on the planet. To get rid of 6 out of 7 of us requires extraordinary measures. And that's what Ebola is. And that's what I saw its capability was way back in 1996 when I first published the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola. Well, I hope that gives you a little summary in a nutshell of what I'm looking at.
Absolutely. But why would Bill Gates want to, you know, do away with a lot of people? I mean, it's absurd. Somebody that's got all this money and lives a cozy life, why would he want to get rid of people?
Well, his excuse that he presents at the TED conference, and anyone can go on to YouTube, actually, and do a search on Google, YouTube, and put in Bill Gates vaccinations. Just those two words will bring up his TED conference speech, wherein he proclaims how he loves vaccines. He's so fond of them because they will reduce the world's population to help with the global warming crisis. The claim is that there's too many of us using non-renewable resources. Well, the truth of the matter is that Rockefellers et al., who control the energy industry and the automobile industry and virtually every other industry, that they've selectively prohibited us from having energy and technologies that were renewable and not causing the carbon dioxide poisoning that is causing acidification of the environment and then subsequently a tremendous amount of disease and depopulation, not just of human beings, but also of various species at risk of extinction now. And when you think about that whole situation, I actually produced the best resource I can give you for my work is on Vimeo.com/forward revolution television, all one word. Vimeo.com's Revolution Television channel is Sherry Kane's and mine, and we've been doing outstanding work. One of the contributions that I personally did on video is a natural cure for global warming. It's about a 20-minute, maybe 30-minute video where I lay out the fact that the planet is much like a human body. What's causing us to be diseased in most cases, all chronic diseases, is the acidification of the body chemistry, where we become more acid and then diseases can grow. The bacteria, the viruses, the fungus, yeast, all of that likes acid. Cancers, arthritic conditions, neurological impairments, everything likes an acid environment. Cancers don't do well, alternatively, in an alkalinized state. And so what's alkalinization? Well, there's your solution to global warming. The same thing with the planet, with acid rain. You know, we went to Europe and we witnessed how the marble statues in the most magnificent places on Earth and Europe, you know, were just being eroded, totally destroyed by the acid rain. Well, the acid is basically destroying not just us, but the environment as well, and that the various species are going extinct. Likewise, because of the change in the chemistry of the oceans and the terrestrial growth. So we're witnessing the same problem. The disease is being induced by the same Rockefeller military, medical, petrochemical, pharmaceutical cartel that is out of control. These are psychopaths. They're psychosociopaths. And what they're doing indicates the criminal psychology where they don't give a damn about anybody but their own agenda. And in a world where 7 billion people are waking up with the internet and waking up to the fact that everybody's been defrauded and lied to and potentially at risk of premature death, well, you know, there stands a popular revolution threat. The risk of popular revolutions now is serious. And so people like Bill Gates, who've got all the money, and they have a desire to maintain their wealth and the family's wealth over the centuries. Same families have been basically in control. Well, what they have to do is they have to figure out how to reduce the world's population most efficiently and secretly. And so the way that they can do that is through vaccinations. And so that's essentially what the situation is. Bill Gates is out there promoting vaccinations to reduce 15% of the population because he says it's going to reduce global warming.
Well, I think the global warming aspect of it is a farce also. I believe it's an intentional global warming. I live in California, and chemtrails seems to be, you know, flying overhead daily with you know, nothing but chemicals, chemicals, chemicals. And as I watch my vegetation and my natural garden that I have in the backyard, I see that every time they spray heavily, my plants die off and then they'll come back to life afterwards. So I think it's all a game. My theory on the whole thing, Doctor, is that they are indebted to all these people with pensions, Social Security, and everything else. And what's the best way to get rid of your debt? You know, these people are about, they're all about greed and power. So
that's right.
Killing the people is nothing to them. It's just another motive.
Yeah. And then you get into their criminal psychology, the fact that they're psychopaths. They've been abused and traumatized when they were young. This is the standard way in which Manchurian candidates and CIA COINTELPRO operatives basically are entrained. They're basically engaged in a virtual hypnosis state where they're fractured. Their psychology is fractured from early childhood trauma, which is part of the engineering of a killer. And I had the privilege of studying and actually in this world of science publishing some of the FBI's most brilliant research in studying criminal psychology and serial killers. Well, here we're talking about mass murderers, but the serial killers that will go on and, let's say, decapitate their victims after sexually abusing them and even having sex with corpses, these insane people actually go through the same kind of early childhood development, which features trauma, sexual abuse trauma, and that they become fractured. They're no longer a loving human being. They become something much less, and as a serious threat to society, they then administer their greedy and arrogant administration. Just like you're talking about, they do it for money and they do it for power. And like you said today, and is exactly what I said it in a different way, you know, you've got an economic crisis. You've got a lot of people like you're indebted to, a lot of people on social services now. The economy is struggling, not only here, but in Europe, and China is now even having some problems. And so you begin to realize, well, what are the options? Especially in a day and age where you've got people waking up left and right, you are, as a Bill Gates of the world or a David Rockefeller, who's very old, but he still is susceptible to a revolution. These people potentially could be brought to justice. And in fact, I've been saying that one way to administer that most lawfully is through citizens' arrest, that actually in most states you have a citizen's arrest statute, where if you witness a crime being committed, then really what you're required to do under your own duty, it's called public duty doctrine. Under the public duty doctrine, you are compelled to get a police officer, go right to that scene of that crime, go right up to the perpetrator and say, you're under arrest. And I'm arresting you for such and such, and here's my witness, and here's my evidence. Well, again, I think that there's substantial capability in the area, for example, of Ebola. In my opinion, right now, there's no good reason that we couldn't use that kind of statute, as well as the evidence that we have already published, to go right to, for example, Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institutes for Allergies and Infectious Diseases, a complete charlatan, a complete criminal, or other officials at the CDC, and say, you're under arrest.
Well, what factual evidence do we have besides what our assumptions and theories are? What factual evidence do we have out there that it was created in a lab?
Well, I actually published, great question, most important question, in fact, I published the National Institutes of Health document. It's a NIH grant number 712025 on page 425 of the book Emerging Viruses, and I also put it into the new video about, oh, a week or so ago, I put up a 36-minute newscast special report. It's titled Viral Immunity, Ebola, Top Secret Disclosures. It's on Vimeo.com Revolution Television Channel. And you can freeze frame on it. And also you can go to a website where I previously came out with one of my five documentary films. It's called In Lies We Trust, the CIA, Hollywood, and Bioterrorism. And you can go to InLiesWeTrust.com. and see the same document freely downloadable there that's in my book, Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola. And frankly, that's pretty much the document that made the book a bestseller, because it's right in your face. It's black and white. It is the United States government contract under which numerous AIDS-like and Ebola-like viruses were bioengineered by the Army's sixth top biological weapons contracting lab called Litton Bionetics. They are a medical subsidiary. They were a medical subsidiary, that is, of the mega military weapons contracting lab. They were for the military contractor, Litton Industries. History tells us that Henry Kissinger ordered the development of these types of biological weapons in 1969 when he became National Security Advisor under Richard Nixon, and almost immediately ordered Admiral Sumvalt from the Navy to do a reassessment of America's biological weapons capabilities because he was looking for alternatives to nuclear weapons. He was the nuclear weapons guru of the world. Kissinger was, as having been mentored by Nelson Rockefeller. And because of Kissinger's connection to the Rockefeller and the nuclear cartel, the energy industrialists, that Kissinger really created the policy, the foreign policy, to deploy strategic and nuclear weapons around the face of the planet. So here was Kissinger in the Nixon White House, right down the hall from Roy Ash, the President Nixon's selection for America's business manager. Right down the hall from Kissinger was Roy Ash, president of Litton Industries. And Kissinger then had the CIA and the agents for the military go to the United States Congress, and in a classified, it was classified, it was secreted, and yet we got a hold of it because of a Air Force worker official was combing through files, found this document, and basically sent it to Robert Strecker, who was the author of the Strecker Memorandum. He was really the first American MD, PhD, highly respected researcher to come out with a man-made origin of AIDS theory. He actually sent me a copy of this classified section of the Congressional Record that authorized the Congress authorized this request for appropriations for $10 million over 5 years from 1970 to 1975, $2 million a year for 5 years, that went to Litton Industries, Litton Bionetics. And Litton really operated, they administered the entire Fort Detrick, Maryland facility. That's America's premier biological weapons testing center in Frederick, Maryland. Litton had the contract at that time to administer all of the money, all the programs, all of the monkeys, all of the chimpanzees, all of the viruses, all the viral cell lines, everything having to do with cancer, virus research, biological weapons research and development, and most importantly, vaccine research and development. And you know, for vaccines, you got to have the virus first. Before you develop a vaccine against the virus, you need the virus. So they developed the viruses, the AIDS-like, the Ebola-like viruses. The answer is yes, they have a vaccine for Ebola. Whether it works today, you know, with the strains that's going around is another question. But they've had the Ebola vaccine available for years, experimental vaccines, for sure. One of the outcomes of this new Ebola outbreak and international fright is, as you've seen in the marketing of the mainstream media on behalf of the Merck Drug Company in recent weeks and SmithKline-Beecham, which basically is a Murdoch family entity at this point. The Murdoch family is heavily tied to not only Merck, but SmithKline-Beecham, GlaxoSmithKline-Beecham. They are among the world's leading vaccine producers. And so you've seen that the hype that vaccines are now going to be fast-tracked because of the fright. And that's what they do. That's just the game plan. They routinely, repeatedly, there's a pattern of that actual criminal racketeering enterprise and abuse of the media to frighten Americans into submission. It's a virtual extortion racket, whereby now Congress has threats of their own people who vote for them, and the constituency then says, please give us a vaccine, please get us help for this horrible thing, and now you've got fast-tracking and more appropriations coming in from all places, including the Bill Gates Foundation for the development of the vaccines. I hope that that gives you a little bit more background on what's taking place.
Absolutely. And before we go to break, I've got a quick question for you. Is Ebola, well, we know that they're taking these diseases and strains from animals and generating them for mankind to affect them. Is Ebola a strain of parvo?
Actually, in my opinion, based on that contract, based on the government contracts, it is more appropriate to characterize it as a recombinant that was called initially rhabdovirus simian. It was a rabies type of virus that ran in rodents. And then they took the virus, they isolated it, and injected it into chimpanzees and monkeys to create what was called rhabdovirus simian. And that then caused the initial mother of Ebola to outbreak in 1967 in Marburg, Germany, at the vaccine production lab. You see, in 1967, right after they did this experiment with rhabdovirus simian, and this is in the government documents that I researched and republished, what happened was they had used it, and then they wanted to develop further vaccines, and they shipped 500 contaminated animals to three vaccine production facilities in Europe in 1967, Belgrade, Yugoslavia, Frankfurt, Germany, and Marburg, Germany, three vaccine labs. And what happened was that the caretakers, the animal caretakers there, came down with Ebola. In fact, it was called Marburg before it was called Ebola. And the mother of Ebola, we call it Marburg. And that they then, because of this very unusual, never before seen type of quick acting killer, it became an international scientific crisis and question as to how this could have happened. And of course, you had the CDC come out and lie right away, just like they did with Ebola today. They said, oh, fruit bats caused it. You know, it must be emerging from fruit bats. Well, they based their 1967 study on the claim that 50% of the monkeys and chimps in Africa were infected with the Marburg virus. So the other researchers said, well, let's just see. And they could not confirm. In fact, they actually said, no, there's no possible way, because if that was the case, then you would have seen the monkey handlers all over the world in these monkey colony facilities coming down with this quick-acting immune suppressive killer. And they didn't see that. So they said to the CDC, no, you're absolutely mistaken. And when I say they, I'm talking about Cy Coulter from Southwest Foundation. I'm talking about the top researchers in the world who are engaged in virology and containment facilities and monkey colonies. These are the people that got together under crisis back in 67. And they concluded the same thing that I'm telling you. They concluded that the shipment of 500 animals that Litton Bionetics, unfortunately, because of the liability, they censored the name of Litton Bionetics. But I tracked it. They were the suppliers of the monkeys, and it was Litton Bionetics linked to Roy Ash, linked to Henry Kissinger, linked to the biological warfare industry that literally produced the first mother of Ebola. And then you have to question, well, you know, what's obvious, besides the media censorship, which is a smoking gun, they have hideously censored my work. In the recent weeks where you've had scientists and public officials all over the world advancing what I've been claiming, that the Ebola virus is a biological weapon, and they've been referencing in the primary citations in their work, they reference me, they reference my book, Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola. But it comes out in American media and nothing. No mention of Horowitz, no mention of his book virtually. And so what you're witnessing is a concealment of evidence. In science, it's evidence tampering. In law, it's evidence tampering, and it's a misdemeanor. And the reality is that this is what's going on today to defraud the American people. It's called consumer fraud. because we're the consumers of the vaccines, and we're basically being defrauded. We're omissions and misrepresentations in law is fraud. So this is an absolute fraud. It's easily proven before a jury, and I pray that there'll be some lawyers that are out there with kahunas to be able to go after these people, these menaces to the planet, and basically take what I'm saying to court. And anyway, the concept besides the censorship, which is, in my opinion, a smoking gun, because frankly, if I was wrong, if I didn't have the documents that I have, then they would slam me. My name would be just totally discredited all over the mainstream media, mainstream news. But you see, I'm right. I've got all the documents, all the evidence, meticulously documented, referenced, and it's basically part of the court record. And so the reality is that these folks are showing their hands. And besides that small piece of evidence, we have, and smoking gun, we've got Dr. Maurice Hilleman, who was the world's leading vaccine developer for the Merck Pharmaceutical Company. I published his concealed audio interview from back in, I think it was 1969. He was interviewed, and he came out right during the interview and said, this is a virtual quote, we brought the AIDS virus into North America and contaminated monkeys. And he was talking about vaccine research and development at Merck, and he says we didn't know it at the time, you know, but he admitted it, and that's a smoking gun. You've got the contracts I mentioned, that's another smoking gun. You've got the whitewashing of the smoking gun by the USGAO, the United States General Accounting Office, when they did an investigation on virtually my material that was advanced by the Congressman Traficant, who passed away recently. And he was prompted by a fellow by the name of Boyd Ed Graves, who was a black, gay, AIDS patient who had a training in law. And he then took my work. He advanced further the claim that the Special Virus Cancer Program sourced the AIDS pandemic and suppressed the cures for AIDS, and that Traficant brought the issue to the United States General Accounting Office. They interviewed me. I did record the interview, and that they then came out and claimed, contrary to what I had told them, that there was no one, they claimed, that made any assertion or scientific credible assertion that HIV/AIDS came from Litton Bionetics Labs. So we've got that piece of evidence. And on top of that, you've got the fact that it doesn't even make sense what the CDC has been saying, because they base their fruit bat analysis or their hypothesis.
Can we hold on to that thought real quick so we can take a quick break and come right back? This is Rock Cash with the People Speak on the BBS Radio Network with our awesome sound engineer, Don Newsom. We'll be right back shortly.
Got questions? The library's got answers, and books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive, but there are millions of children all over the world who don't. children who must work instead of going to school, children who were forced to fight as child soldiers, children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to VBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
This is Rock Cash. Welcome back to The People Speak on the BBS Radio Network with our guest, Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Doctor, you know, it's strange, but it seems that the opium trade is booming in Afghanistan after the United States, you know, went and seized it from the Taliban. What is your thinking on that situation? Did we go to war just for the drugs? Did we fight the drug war just to take over the business of cocaine and the business of opium? Can you please fill us in with your thoughts on that?
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. Yeah. Let me just finish up. I'll come right back to this. But the point that I was making before break is that the claim that the Ebola came out and was sourcing from the natural reservoir of fruit bats was made by the CDC based on a study of 4%. It was found in a Bangladesh study, 4% of the fruit bats there allegedly had the antigens for Ebola Zaire. So, which was the currently circulating strain. And frankly, that could have been an artifact, but what's more disgusting is that it, and transparent, is that, you see, Bangladesh is thousands of miles away. That's in Asia. We're talking about Africa. And that we're looking at Ebola Zaire, that is a virus that came out in 1976. 38 years ago, and that came out in Zaire or the Congo, and that is also over 1,000 miles away from where the Guinea outbreak and Liberian outbreak of the current Ebola crisis sourced. And so it doesn't make any sense, particularly in a virus that mutates rapidly. You see all of these AIDS-like and Ebola-like viruses, they are recombinants. Laboratory made. They're not like they didn't evolve over millennia and became stable thereby, because they're pieced together. And in the old days, in 67 through 70, they were using crude bench virology that mutated these viruses, and then they were very easily broken down. They mutate rapidly because of it. And the splicing, the way that they're mutated, causes them to mutate rapidly. So let's say if AIDS jumps from me to you, it's already, you know, 4, 5, 6% different. Well, consider 38 years over 1,000 miles. Though that fruit bat, man, he had to do some strange things. In fact, the only reasonable explanation for the current outbreak of Ebola Zaire, after 38 years of being in hibernation, is a refrigerator, a laboratory refrigerator, in fact, a special laboratory refrigerator. It's got to be a laboratory refrigerator in a level 4 biocontainment facility, and it's got to be a refrigerator that's surrounded by a sophisticated decontamination equipment, showers and ultraviolet lighting rooms and various all sorts of equipment whereby you're dealing with only a couple places that have even the capacity to store Ebola Zaire. So it's an actual downright obvious fraud. And before I go on to answer the question, I just wanted to bring that up because it's one of the smoking guns that you put that information in front of a jury and you're going to see that you're going to come back with a conspiracy definitive ruling in your favor.
Well,
the opium trade.
I'm surprised that they didn't try to say that the fruit bat that was passing it around was a homosexual. But it seems like neo-Nazis are influencing themselves on the black people of Africa. And, of course, they're using them as guinea pigs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And your humor is well taken. The fact is I've been outraged. You know, we had dear friends whose lives are at risk over in Africa on radio with us last night. And the fact of the matter is that same point was brought up last night. Why would it be that the black people are always the ones who are the sourcing, you know, their country? These are the people allegedly that go out and they eat meat from contaminated chimpanzees. And this is the claims. It's so stupid when you start to look at the science, which I have. And then the way in which the real science is concealed and twisted by the mainstream media. I'm telling you, about 4 weeks ago, I think it was now, 3-4 weeks ago, the media totally distorted the newest science that came out that confirmed AIDS's origin sourced from the same area as the Ebola Zaire. Well, gee whiz, when you started to look at the actual science, which I did, I read the actual scientific article. It cost me $20 to purchase it. I bought it. I read through it. And the researchers didn't make anything like that claim. In fact, everything that they claimed was completely consistent with what I've been claiming. You know, they actually came out in that scientific report and said that there was a great likelihood that this was a man-made issue, that it sourced probably from sort of a vaccination or contaminated needle, iatrogenic, that's physician-induced cause. Well, gee whiz, you don't get any of that information in the popular press. And again, it indicates that you're concealing evidence. That means you're complicit in the crime. Well, at any rate, let me go on to the question that you raised about the opium trade. I completely agree. The entire planet is being taken over by pharmaceutical industrialists. And the manner in which the administration is taking place, and certainly this network has seen its fill of it. This network has, just like my organizations, have been infiltrated by COINTELPRO agents for CIA and FBI who come in. You think they're good guys. They basically, you know, pay the bills. And all of a sudden, you know, a couple months later, they whack you. They steal from you and they lie about you and they discredit you and they defame you. And gee whiz, you don't even know what the hell hit you by the time they get done with you with their troop of COINTELPRO operatives. Well, another video that I would recommend people view is on same Vimeo channel, our Revolution Television channel on Vimeo. And it's called NSA CIA Trolls. Attack heroes to profit villains. And essentially what you'll see is that the counterintelligence program is alive and well today, and that COINTELPRO is an MK Ultra mind control and social engineering initiative. COINTELPRO, MK Ultra, mind control for social engineering, cultural indoctrination, cultural creation. Look back at the CIA and the LSD and the turn on and drop out manipulation of my generation. You had outrageous, we bought it. Gee whiz, you know, I listened to the Beatles, I listened to the Rolling Stones, Sympathy for the Devil, and basically I had no idea at the time I was being indoctrinated in the British invasion was all about Sympathy for the Devil and essentially a demonic, literally, outrageously unlawful manipulation of my mind and all of my friends' minds. The reality is today the same thing with opium. When you're talking about opium, the power of opium, and what you're saying is absolutely true. The whole Afghanistan connection is central to the opium trade. And that is the primary reason that we're in Afghanistan today, because that is a mind-altering, controlling drug. And that is the way in which the powers that be that we've talked about can't talk about biological weapons without talking about pharmaceutical industry interests. You cannot. They're not separable. The same thing when you're talking about opium. You can't separate it from the drug cartel. You can't separate that from the crime, the organized crime racketeering that's ongoing under the guise of public health and national security. You know, we're told, oh, we can't legalize marijuana, or we can't do this or that because it's going to cause a risk to the national security. Well, gee whiz, look who's running national security. Look at the banksters on Wall Street who are making a profit off of Ebola, and you'll come to the same conclusion. It's the same old, same parties of interest, the same concealments, the same manipulations of the legislature, and ultimately, I think now that we're waking up to it, we can make a big difference.
Well, the bankers are making a lot of money by the fractional banking system that they're using against us. So I see why these drug cartellers, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, we know they've been in the heroin business for years. That's how they made their billions and billions of dollars, by not following the laws, paying off the politicians, and moving on. So
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yep, you've got the Rothschild Rockefeller banking cartel virtually in control of everything. You've got their subordinates, the people like Bill Gates, etc. You know, a great example. In fact, to pressure Bill Gates, you remember when Microsoft, and of course, MS, Microsoft, is MSNBC. People don't know that. Bill Gates virtually controls that network. And, you know, in the beginning, the Microsoft cartel was broken up. You had U.S. attorneys basically do an antitrust litigation against Microsoft. And how did it end? Oh, boy. It ended with Bill Gates maintaining most of his cartel with the inclusion of settlement that he would start the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the first authorization of the first $200 million came immediately after the so-called settlement of the Microsoft antitrust litigation. And so
you mean that was $200 million of taxpayers' money?
No, that was $200 million of the Bill Gates fortune that was used as extortion, as a bribe. Basically, it was a agreement to have Bill Gates maintain his virtual monopoly, which they could have broken up entirely. They didn't. They left Bill Gates and Microsoft engaged primarily with most of their assets intact, and they then had him open up and start to heavily promote their major depopulation weapon, vaccinations. That's how the Bill and Melinda Gates began, a foundation began, and today it has grown its donations from simply $200 million to billions and billions of dollars a year that they give, certainly billions of dollars.
Give some of that money to, they also give some of that money to people that are coming up with cures for Ebola, supposedly, but they don't give them very much. I guess maybe it's to squander whatever they come up with. I've got a caller on line one, Mike from California. Go ahead.
Hello, Leonard. I have two questions for you. What are your degrees in science, and what is your prediction for the way that this plays out with Ebola in the United States? Will vaccinations be mandatory and pharmaceuticals reap a profit, or what will be the end result? Thank you.
Well, thank you. Very, very important question. It's on all of our minds. My answer is that I pray that people like you and Rock and programs like this will be disseminated, and that's our form of activism. And by the shedding of that light of truth, it's going to cause the players in darkness, the agents who are engaged in this menacing genocide, that they'll run, that they'll pull the program. And I've seen that take place in previous years on other matters. I pray that would be the case in this matter. I'm praying that over the last week, where we've been first told now for the first time that they seem to be having reduced numbers of the Ebola cases in Africa, and they're getting that under control. I just heard that last night confirmed. And so I'm praying that what caused that are people like me, like you, like Rock out there telling the truth. Now, if that's not the case, if we don't do our job, then there is a great likelihood that as the troops come back, that additional families and healthcare professionals will become infected. As you're witnessing in the news, our society is not geared, nor is our healthcare system geared to respond effectively to a biological weapon. And so martial law would undoubtedly take effect. So my prayer, and I pray yours as well, is that it stops, and that we basically busted their program, and that we won't see increasing numbers of cases. Because if we do, it's all over. I'm telling you, you cannot deal in a society, in a healthcare system that is completely unequipped, having fearful people and people who are angered and outraged about their violations of civil rights, like you just saw 2 days ago, the woman, I think in Maine, said, I'm not going to, or was it New York? I can't remember, where she says, I'm not going to be sitting home for my quarantine period. I'm getting out. And so she got a court order and the judge let her out. So, you know, you can't cope with something that you've never seen before in society. And that if that were, as I said, to spread, then they have exactly what they had intended. They have a mass depopulation, mass military operation, where forced quarantines, forced vaccinations, and the likelihood of the vaccines then being contaminated with additional biological weapons and chemical toxins that would cause depopulation is high, and the probability even that it would contain some sort of a microchip, given Google's presence and the intelligence community's reliance and collaboration with Google. I mean, they're even operating intelligence vehicles on the surface of the moon. You know, they've got their Google X project for vehicles on the moon that relays intelligence back to the planet. You know, if they're interested in intelligence on the moon, I guarantee you that they're interested in intelligence in your own house. And, you know, the likelihood of them doing whatever they're technologically capable of doing, which today is that the microchips have become so small and the nanotechnology so powerful, is that they have the capacity to inject those kinds of human freedom annihilating agents throughout the population under military regulations.
Over my dead body. Well, I'd like to thank you, Doctor. It's been a wonderful, wonderful show. We'd like everybody to join us next week as we have another former CIA agent that pretty much states the same thing, how Ebola is a disease that is manufactured and it is a biological weapon to be used against humanity. So please join us next week. This is Rock Cash signing out. Thank you, Dr. Leonard, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Doc. Yes. Good night.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief of us, I saw my people. And they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.